It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. As hospitals and clinics roll back masking requirements, we explore the implications on public health, the healthcare workforce, and families of COVID victims. Call in with your thoughts and questions on masking. The number to join in is 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Dr. Caitlin Sundling is an assistant professor of pathology and laboratory medicine at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Sundling, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
So UW Health ended the requirement that people wear masks in its facilities at the beginning of last month, and that's in step with most Wisconsin healthcare systems that have now ended this requirement. Why do you say this step is a mistake?
This is really something that is basic infection control that we've learned from the last 3 years of the pandemic. So we have learned that we can prevent the transmission of infectious diseases that spread through the respiratory tract through universal masking. This is actually an advance, something that we're doing better than we used to do before. And it really is a mistake to take that protection away and to put both patients and healthcare workers at risk.
What about the hospital setting? Why is it important to you that hospitals require masking?
This is particularly important in healthcare settings because those settings bring together people who are susceptible to infection, and that really includes all of us, but particularly people who are known to have high-risk conditions, with people who may actually be seeking care for a COVID infection or an unknown respiratory illness. So we have a mixing of people who are at risk and people who are seeking care because they're sick, and then there's also the risk of asymptomatic infection by either patients or healthcare workers who might not even know that they have a COVID infection, but may unwittingly transmit the infection to another person in that healthcare setting.
As you shine a light on vulnerable populations there, is this a step backward for health equity? I mean, if there are vulnerable people who face substantial risk of being exposed when they're in the waiting room or in the clinical setting, what does that mean for health equity?
It definitely is a step backward. And I'm learning a lot from people who have chronic illnesses, disabilities, and people who are immunocompromised that they have been dealing with this risk in the healthcare setting since long before the pandemic. And the pandemic really shined a spotlight on this issue that that masking could actually make things safer. So it's definitely, it's a step backwards. It's something that we can do better. And masking in healthcare is such a minor inconvenience. We do many more complicated things in healthcare to protect patients and provide the best quality care. And this is along the lines of hand washing and wearing gloves, things that I'm sure many people know we didn't always do in healthcare, but now we take these things for granted. We would think it would be negligent not to do so.
But could wearing a mask give a person a false sense of security?
That is an idea that I think is really not suited to a healthcare setting, because most people are not in a healthcare setting sort of unnecessarily. All of us are seeking healthcare because we have to be there. So it really is imperative that healthcare systems and healthcare providers provide this safety. So the healthcare systems can support this and provide, it's basically personal protective equipment. This is something we see in a lot of different settings. When you're going to enter a risky environment in healthcare, we gown up, we glove up, we, scrub into the operating room. We make sure that we are prepared and ready, and we expect that we will be provided the resources to do that. So the protection of masking is very well proven. At this point in the pandemic, we really should be wearing N95 respirators. So if we think about the sense of security and safety, N95 respirators go beyond the protection that a surgical mask can provide and really are the most appropriate protection for airborne infectious diseases like COVID.
Dr. Caitlin Sundling with us, UW Health pathologist, a member of the People's CDC. That's a volunteer group working to improve public health as we talk about masking requirements in healthcare facilities. And you can join in with a question at 800-642-1234. And Diane is here from Hubbleton. Diane, hi.
Good morning. I have a adult daughter transitioning from pediatric to adult oncology care. So we travel out of state for the pediatric. In our last appointment, there were no masks required at the hospital. And when I reached out to the administrators ahead of time, they said, well, certain departments will have masks. And when I said, but how do we get to the ninth floor in an always crowded elevator if only some people are wearing masks? And they really didn't have an answer for that. But her oncologist walked in unmasked, and I almost fell off my chair. And then this week, we met with the new oncologist in Madison, and the entire hospital is unmasked. Fortunately, her oncologist was masked. As a parent of an adult child who is immunocompromised, has a disability, and a chronic condition, we will always mask. I will never go anywhere without a mask anymore. But how do we get hospitals and healthcare clinics where there are sick people to realize masks are simple? They're an easy way to help.
Diane, thank you so much for calling in and sharing such a deeply personal story. Dr. Sundling.
I want to thank you, Diane, for sharing this. It's just heartbreaking to hear. It's really outrageous that this basic protection is not being provided for patients like your daughter, for an oncology patient. This is for all of us. We all need this protection, but particularly these vulnerable patients, this should be guaranteed. It's a really basic measure. I hope that everyone knows that it is possible to ask for masking. It's not easy. You shouldn't even have to ask. It should just be provided. But you can request masking. That does make a difference. The issues that Diane mentioned about, getting to another floor, moving through a hospital or clinic setting where masks aren't required everywhere, those are incredibly important. And that's why we really need universal masking in all healthcare settings, because patients don't just get care in the exam room. They're not just exposed to the air in that exam room where they're up close with a medical provider. They're breathing the air throughout the building, and that's where the risk exists, is throughout the building. But just know that masking can be requested. If that request is not being honored, it can be requested as an Americans with Disabilities Act accommodation. It's not to say it's easy, but it is worthwhile to know that that is your right to make that request.
We have Dr. Caitlin Sundling, who is an assistant professor of pathology and laboratory medicine at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, a physician assistant advocating for universal masking in healthcare settings. You can call in with questions and comments at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As healthcare facilities end masking requirements, A Wisconsin physician scientist speaks out against medical settings retreating to pre-pandemic times as they lift these requirements. You can join the conversation, share your comments, call in with a question, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Pathologist at UW School of Medicine and Public Health, Caitlin Sundlin, is also a physician advisor to Mask Together America. That's a national organization raising awareness about preventing the spread of COVID-19. Let's take another call now. David is with us from San Francisco. David, hi.
Well, thanks, Kate, and your guest. I really appreciate you doing this show. The COVID is not over. If you just do a quick Google search of China COVID, you're going to see that the headlines are claiming that they may have 65 million infected people right now. And the last week it was 40 million. So it's on a quick rise in China, and it's partially worsened by the kind of the same direction that we've got here in America. There's half of the, you know, the new agers who want to have healthy living without vaccines, and the right wing who just hate the idea. I don't even know how to characterize them, because they seem to be gleeful about selling crazy nostrums.
David, let me ask you this, though. Does the pandemic feel over to you from where you are?
Oh, definitely not. I work in the convention center, and just a show about 3 weeks ago, it's called RSA, a big computer show, computer security show, and at least five people from my union alone came down with it. Mm. And so it's another friend who lives in the south part of the city here came down with it. She was lucky to survive. She's got cancer generally, and the double whammy of that. So no, it's not over, and it's the idea that big money is saying get back to work, and somebody is stifling the attempts to create civilization, as opposed to just a company store kind of logic.
Well, Dr. Sundlin, I want to get your perspective here on what David is feeling, especially in San Francisco as well, which is a ways away from Wisconsin.
Thank you, David. I think that perspective is incredibly important, and I'm glad also that you raised the issue of conventions. We're seeing outbreaks even at scientific conferences. Recently at the CDC's own infectious disease detective conference, a COVID outbreak occurred that affected about 10% of in-person participants at that conference. And these are people, obviously, who are very knowledgeable about public health, people who are really interested. 70% of those people didn't mask. Masking was not required at that conference. So this is true across the board in a lot of different scientific and medical fields, that a return to a pre-pandemic normal has led to really disease outbreaks and the potential, especially for doctors, to pass those infections on to their patients when they come back home. It's really concerning to me.
Donna from Mount Horeb called in to say that their daughter is a nurse where they are not required to wear masks, which the nurse is happy about. And Donna wonders if there are workforce hiring issues if ongoing masking is required and people are unwilling to comply.
I think that this is, it's not an uncommon sentiment for healthcare workers to feel that they've done everything right. They've kind of earned some kind of sense of normalcy. I really push back against that, because this is a matter of risk, and it's a matter of infection control. So this is something that is more of a gap in education that our public health infrastructure, our public health authorities need to provide this education to the healthcare workers about the risks to them personally. I think many healthcare workers don't actually know that they are at risk of both severe disease from COVID, although that may not be at the top of their minds, but also a quite significant risk of long COVID. The most recent estimate that just came out of the RECOVER study on long COVID estimated the rate of long COVID at about 10%, and that includes people who are previously healthy. The rates in vaccinated people are reduced, but they're not eliminated. So long COVID can be devastating. It can really impact your ability to work and your ability to enjoy many of the things that you enjoy because of the organ system damage, as well as the debilitating symptoms that can come with long COVID.
What about the insights that this is a communication barrier in healthcare settings, especially for people who do not speak English as their primary language? Is there a downside to require masks when there is a challenge with human connection and communication?
In this day and age, we have so many assistive technologies to get around these barriers. It's really not an issue. In healthcare settings, we can do this without putting patients at risk. An easy one can be to wear a respirator that has a clear window. There are N95s that have clear windows that are specifically for communicating with people who read lips. But then there are also, technological approaches and communicating by text and other modalities that can make communication possible without compromising the patient or the healthcare worker's safety.
Dr. Caitlin Sundling with us, UW health pathologist, a member of the People's CDC, as we talk about masking requirements in healthcare facilities and the future of it. Let's go to Jamie in Algoma. Jamie, hi.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. My situation is I am immunocompromised thanks to a medication I'm taking. It suppresses my immune system. I was in a career for 34 years, so they had to leave because the place where I worked decided to not require masks early on in the pandemic. So I decided to switch careers and went into a career working in the healthcare field where I felt very safe because I was going in and out of clinics and labs all day where everybody was masked, and I thought, this is perfect. And now we're back to everybody being unmasked, and I mask everywhere I go, which isn't very many places. I don't attend church, get my hair cut, go out to eat, go to movies, anything in indoor crowded spaces. I've missed weddings and funerals. And I just kind of feel like everybody's moved on and yay, it's over. And I'm kind of stuck here with no place to go.
Significantly confining your quality of life.
Yes. And then now my career, I feel like I'm in jeopardy again, but I'm just trying to get myself to deal with seeing people's faces again.
Yeah.
And wearing my N95s everywhere I go and doing everything I can to stay safe.
Jamie, thank you. Dr. Sundling, go ahead.
I really want to thank you, Jamie, for sharing that. This is such a difficult situation, and I'm sorry that you're facing this. Healthcare settings, really, really, everyone should be protected. We should have that universal masking, not just for vulnerable patients, but also to protect the workers. And I have faced these issues myself as well. I've made drastic changes to my own work, my own practice, in order to protect myself and my family. And this has led to a loss of, significant career opportunities, but I feel it's really worth it to keep my health, and because I know that, at the end of the day, my health and my family's health is the most important. And I think that, it's really disappointing to see our colleagues not supporting us in doing this.
I want to ask you before we have to go, you know, the masks available to patients at the door, often you see you can choose to wear them or not, but they are surgical masks, not the respirators like the N95 you've talked about. Is that an issue with the level of effectiveness?
There is definitely a big difference between surgical masks and N95 respirators. Now, I do want to say that a surgical mask is better than nothing. That definitely reduces the risk, but in a recent study from the CDC, we're talking about 2/3 risk reduction versus an N95 respirator, which can get upwards of 80% protection with consistent use. We know we could do even better than that with a really good fit and seal. At this point in the pandemic, N95 respirators should be the standard, and it may take a few tries. If people are trying out an N95 respirator individually, know that there are different styles. You might need to shop around a little bit to find one that fits you really well. But it is worth it, getting that really nice airtight seal around the edge so that all the air is passing through that really good filter material is protective.
Dr. Sundling, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Dr. Caitlin Sundling is a pathologist and an assistant professor of pathology and laboratory medicine at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.